Hello again, everyone. This is Margaret Lynch from MargaretMLynch.com, and today's class is about healing the money shadow. So we will be doing some shadow work today, and I've also said healing the money shadow and divine conflict. So we're going to get into the other side of money and wealth and get into some shadow work. Whenever I have done this class in these series, this one is the one that often gives me the most feedback from people, the most struggle, it's hard, it's intense, the biggest breakthroughs. But understanding that shadow work is a really powerful part of the work. And I'm going to read you a few quotes about the shadow work from the new book called The Shadow Effect, which is Deepak Chopra, Debbie Ford, and Marianne Williamson. Now, the first book that Debbie Ford wrote on the shadow effect is called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, which is a fantastic book. I recommend it to everybody. It's one of the main books that's used at the Energy Medicine School. And this new one, The Shadow Effect, is a newer one that's come out, and you see that she's joined by both Deepak Chopra and Marianne Williamson, two of the top names in personal development, to lend more weight and more understanding to the difficulty people have with understanding our shadows and that they're not something to get rid of them. What Deepak says is that duality is where we are. We are human beings living on this human planet. We have a lower self, and we also have a higher self and a more spiritual side. So the fact, seeing ourselves as split in two, he says, is the most damaging of illusions. One of his quotes on one of the sections that he writes is called Wholeness Resolves All Conflicts. The goal of the shadow work is actually wholeness, not to get rid of parts of ourselves. And so in learning your profile in this class, you learn that there's a dark side and a light side to your profile. There's a core soul quality, which is the power side, and then there's the defended side, which is sort of the shadow side. And all the work that we do through the profile work is around owning our shadow side, not so that it becomes darker and scarier, but so that it becomes integrated into wholeness. Because that side of us has a tremendous amount of energy. So here are some of the benefits of doing this work today, according to Deepak. He said, when you work on your shadow, when you own your shadow, bring your shadow into wholeness, which is what's going to be our goal today, specifically around money and wealth, some of the advantages are life becoming easier, less of a struggle, feeling and acting more spontaneous, no longer seeing such negative reflections out in the world through other people. Really knowing who you are. Really feeling and knowing yourself at a deeper level. And another thing he says is not getting knocked off your center as easily. That you can't actually get knocked off of your center. He also says something about being able to manifest more easily when we own our shadow, because the shadow side or our lower self actually has more energy in it to manifest things in our life. Okay, so in Debbie Ford's book, both of her books, she talks about different ways to see the shadow called Unmask the Shadow. And another is called Uncover the Shadow. Unmask the Shadow means looking for the shadow in yourself. And uncover the shadow is seeing it reflected in other people that we really can't stand. So we're going to do a little bit of both of these techniques today to really get to our shadow specifically around money. And we're going to see how the shadow that we're carrying is specifically going to sabotage not necessarily our income, but mostly our wealth, the way that we manage money, the way we save, the way we acquire wealth, the way we have safety and security in our life due to wealth. So where do we get our money shadow? Well, or where do we get most of our negative limiting beliefs around money? And we really get them from four places. So in your life, you have been downloading beliefs, conflicting beliefs, and fears and emotions about specifically wealth, money and wealth, from four places: from your family, from your religion, from the media, and from society. So when we think about our family, we can go back to our family pictures that we talked about in the very first class, remembering how things were in our family financially, and trying to remember specifically, how did your parents or caregivers speak about or feel about very wealthy people? What were those specific judgments? What did our religions teach us about money and wealth, and whether or not people who were wealthy could ever get into heaven, or that wealthy worship money, or that money is the root of all evil? I hear that one all the time from people. What does society teach us? And often this is through the media. We have in the media lots and lots of examples of very wealthy people behaving incredibly badly and often getting away with it. So there's a lot of mixed messages that it's good to pay your bills, but it's not okay to be wealthy. And because of these mixed messages that we get, often at an age when we're just downloading, right? We weren't able when we were little to stand up and say, but teacher, whether it was a teacher or a religious teacher or someone in our family, and say, but that's not really a balanced view, is it? Because there's lots of wealthy people who don't fit that stereotype. We just downloaded it. Okay, so a really good exercise to do after this class, because you can find some very specific tappable issues in there, is to think about the messages that came from your religion, your religious upbringing, that you see in the media that really trigger you, that you heard from your family, people like them and versus people like us. A lot of the quotes I hear from people are, you know, the rich don't care about people. They make their money off the poor, off the sweat, or the backs of the poor. There's lots and lots of that out there, as well as I said, really good examples, polarizing examples on TV and in the news all the time of people who are absolutely living that truth. The important thing to recognize is this really a conflict for you? Because when we take this in at a very young age, I remember I'm 43 and we watched Gilligan's Island here in the U.S. I don't know if anyone remembers that show, but if you remember Gilligan's Island, what were the rich people like on Gilligan's Island? That was a very, very clear message to me. There was wealthy people on that island who were incredibly aloof and narcissistic and selfish and insensitive and just dumb. And I was about six watching that regularly and laughing at those people. And the good people on the island, the smart people, were like the middle class people. And I was in a middle class family. So this seems kind of silly, but in the unconscious mind, it becomes incredibly, incredibly important messaging. So here's the way we get at the money shadow. The way we're going to start this is I want everyone to get a piece of paper in front of them, and I want you to picture in your mind two people. We've got Donald Trump, and we've got Paris Hilton. And if you want to go way back, we have the Howells from Gilligan's Island. We have Ginger from Gilligan's Island. Okay, so I want you to picture in your mind that you're looking at Donald Trump, Paris Hilton, maybe if you remember Gilligan's Island, if you're I'm 43 and I definitely watched that show, so it's not too out of date. I want you to look at them in your mind and start to write down and give me a list of attributes. Now, if there's some good attributes coming up, you can note those, but I'm really looking for the negative ones coming up first. Okay, and I also want you to chime in on what your parents would say. So some of these might be your judgments, and some of them I would want you to chime in on what your parents would say. So make sure you record your own, because what you write down specifically has some clues for you. And give me feedback.
Spoiled, superficial, and obnoxious.
Fantastic.
With Trump, it's interesting because the first thing that I thought of was that he lost it all, didn't claim bankruptcy, and made it all back. So really, for me, that wasn't a negative.
It's a good thing, but I also want you to see the limit in there.
Okay.
If he just had his family money and it was always easy for him, then what would the judgment be?
That it's easy for him. It's, you know, he had it easy.
And that kind of goes hand in hand with Paris Hilton. I wrote down daddy's money.
Yeah. I wrote shallow, lazy, immoral.
Egotistical, stuck up.
I want you to think about, I know that they both of them probably do humanitarian work, but I want you to just picture the way that they spend money in their life, the $1 million solid gold toilet and the diamond-studded shower. I want you to think about that, the way that they spend money, the way that they just take that money and spend it because there's such a great excess. And so I want you to just kind of think about that, and what's your judgment about that?
Wasteful, unnecessary.
I'm thinking about others who are starving.
Yeah, it's very selfish.
Yeah. Okay.
I see the quality that I see when you talk that way is kind of sense of pretentious or superior than or something like that.
Okay.
I get jealous. It's not, I like, there's no label, but it's like, I want that.
It's very ostentatious.
Give me some words of what would your parents say?
Sinful.
Yeah.
Wasteful.
They don't deserve it.
Shallow.
Stupid.
They took advantage. They took advantage of other people, most likely, probably.
More dollars than cents.
Okay, so now I want you to put some religious figures around you in your mind, okay? So maybe it's actually the Lord standing there with you, or maybe it's a mix of like, the, you know, I had nuns in Catholic schools and priests. And so I want you to stand there, like alongside of you, you've got some of the figures from your religion. Okay, and they're standing with you in solidarity, looking at this person, and what would the feeling be? Is there agreement about sinful, wasteful, taking advantage of people, not all the good they could be doing in the world? You know, that
no,
solid gold toilet could have, you know, paid for a village to have water somewhere.
Yeah,
there's
love and acceptance.
Yeah, they're more compassionate about
yeah.
Them.
Yeah.
They see them as just not understanding.
They're still wrong. Those people are all still wrong, and we're feeling compassion for how wrong they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I just want you to notice what would happen. You're looking at these, you know, these deities standing with you, and they're a little more compassionate, and they're a little bit sad because these people have sort of missed the boat. And you're about to turn and walk over and stand with Donald Trump and Paris Hilton.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
How's the Lord and others looking at you now?
Oh, sad.
Shallow and selfish. Materialistic.
Did you just drop down a notch in the Lord's eyes?
You don't want to go.
That's so weird. Totally, I did. But whenever I was on that on the side looking at them, there was much more compassion than whenever I joined them.
I think for me, he or she would expect me to help them, be compassionate towards them.
Okay, but you're going to stand with them, saying, "I want the gold toilet. I'm taking the shower with the diamond studs."
They're disappointed.
You're like, I know what I used to say, but I'm getting in that limo and partying all night. Okay.
I get that they would just say, do a better job with it.
Okay.
I see kind of a sense of the more closer I get, the more I feel admiration in the sense of containing such a level of power, you know, materializing power.
Wow.
In this case, how he used it or not, that will be my own consciousness, but I feel a sense of admiration about that.
Wow.
Yeah, I think for me, I can't even imagine myself getting in that limo and buying that gold-plated toilet seat. That does not compute.
You can come back and stand with the Lord and others, whoever you've got there with you. And so you're standing there, but a piece of you steps out. A piece of you, one aspect, maybe it's like a tenth or a twelfth of you, but a mirror image of you steps out and heads over. So now it's not all of you, just a piece, and this is your shadow, your money shadow. And this piece of you cannot wait to drop $1 million on a solid gold toilet. Cannot wait to jump on the gravy train of daddy's money and party all night with Paris Hilton, spend $4,000 on a pair of shoes, throw them away the next day. So I just want you to watch that part of you. How does it look standing over there with them?
I'm still rejecting that part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm judging me.
I'm just noticing all the feelings in my body of just like, that's not even possible. There's no way. Just all this turmoil in my body.
And actually, for me, it feels like sort of tasting the forbidden fruit. It's actually kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I always wondered what this would be like.
Okay. Yeah, and so
I'm looking at what I can do with the money for me, but I'm also giving money to charities, too. Big money.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't envision myself doing that because I just think about all the waste of the resources we're using from the earth just to have a gold toilet seat.
Right.
But I love shoes, so I might go out and buy shoes but not throw them away the next day, you know. And just do things that I've always dreamed that my heart's desires, you know, of traveling and stuff like that. So I would probably spend, but it would be on experiences and things and helping people, you know, and whatever.
Okay.
So
that's the integrated part of you. You're still owning that you have a heart. And so right now we're just going to take that shadow that stepped out and recognize that that part couldn't care less about other people. Is right there with Paris, okay? Couldn't care less, doesn't even think about it, no conscience, no guilt, $4,000 pair of shoes, solid gold toilet, you know, $80,000 on a collar for your chihuahua.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay.
My shadow's dancing.
Yeah, so all lower self. This is an all lower self part of you. Okay, and this is a really important shadow because we all have one. We all have a lower self that would, given the right conditions, kill for money. Now, we haven't probably had those conditions growing up, but that's the lower self, and that's the idea of the shadow work. Okay, it's the same part of your lower self that would kill to save your own life. It's just a slightly different part of the shadow. So I just want you to let that part be there and sort of join energy with the worst parts of Paris Hilton and Donald Trump and any corporate executive that you could throw in there that is absolutely unconscionable. We're going to make this money shadow really, really bad. When I did this work on my own, the image that popped in my mind was Jafar from the Aladdin cartoons. If anyone's ever seen the Aladdin, Disney is Aladdin, that you watched with your, you know, I watched with my daughter when she was little, the Jafar character who gets his three wishes from the genie and wants to be emperor and then wants to be lord and then wants to be, can't think of anything bigger and huger and more powerful. He just wants more, more, more. Wants to be lord of all creation. And that's the money shadow that I saw pop up. I was like, oh my God, my money shadow is Jafar. So just tapping through any of the points, there it is.
There it is.
My money shadow.
My money shadow.
Awful.
Awful.
I don't want to look at it.
I don't want to look at it.
So wasteful.
So wasteful.
So sinful.
So sinful.
Even the Lord would have pity for me.
Even the Lord would have pity for me.
Would be disappointed in me.
Would be disappointed in me.
I'd be turning away from God.
I'd be turning away from God.
I'd be turning away from what I believe.
I'd be turning away from what I believe.
This part of me can't wait.
This part of me can't wait.
To jump in that limo.
To jump in that limo.
And let go of all conscience.
And let go of all conscience.
And be wasteful and immoral.
And be wasteful and immoral.
Sinful and shallow.
Sinful and shallow.
The part of me that absolutely.
The part of me that absolutely.
Would take advantage of others.
Would take advantage of others.
To have more money.
To have more money.
The part of me.
The part of me.
That would kill to have daddy's hand out.
That would kill to have daddy's hand out.
Trade my whole family for a different life.
Trade my whole family for a different life.
To be born with a silver spoon.
To be born with a silver spoon.
On daddy's money train.
On daddy's money train.
There's a part of me.
There's a part of me.
That would love to while away the days.
That would love to while away the days.
Lazy and stuck up.
Lazy and stuck up.
Everyone kissing my ass.
Everyone kissing my ass.
Everyone around me fake.
Everyone around me fake.
And I wouldn't mind.
And I wouldn't mind.
This part of me.
This part of me.
Would dive right in that limo.
Would dive right in that limo.
And never look back.
And never look back.
I totally judge it.
I totally judge it.
So wouldn't the Lord.
So wouldn't the Lord.
So wouldn't everyone I know.
So wouldn't everyone I know.
I gotta keep this shoved down.
I've gotta keep this shoved down.
I gotta make sure I don't get enough money.
I've gotta make sure I don't get enough money.
Because if I do,
because if I do,
this horrible part of me,
this horrible part of me,
will be unleashed.
Will be unleashed.
And I won't be able to stop it.
And I won't be able to stop it.
It'll have bloodlust for money.
It'll have bloodlust for money.
I'll disappoint everyone.
I'll disappoint everyone.
I definitely can't let God know.
I definitely can't let God know.
That I even have this part.
That I even have this part.
I can't own it.
I can't own it.
I refuse to integrate it.
I refuse to integrate it.
I will not honor it.
I will not honor it.
It's sinful.
It's sinful.
Selfish.
Selfish.
Wasteful.
Wasteful.
Horrible.
Horrible.
Materialistic.
Materialistic.
I totally judge this part.
I totally judge this part.
I totally judge anyone like that.
I totally judge anyone like that.
And I am right.
And I am right.
And God's right too.
And God's right too.
If I was that way.
If I was that way.
Had easy money and was selfish.
Had easy money and was selfish.
I would deserve that judgment.
I would deserve that judgment.
I got to keep this hidden.
I got to keep this hidden.
I got to keep this down.
I got to keep this down.
It is not safe for me to have big money.
It is not safe for me to have big money.
Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And so it's tricky to go into the money shadow, and this is where, you know, if it's finding it difficult, it's great to read one of the Debbie Ford books, you know, Dark Side of the Light Chasers or the new one, The Shadow Effect. But it's really powerful to go in there and see the conflicts you're carrying around your money shadow. Okay, so how did that feel tapping through that? I want you to just look at that part of you again and see how it feels, how it looks.
Lots of yawning going on.
Yeah.
I feel informed about my desire for more power.
I'm amazed that all that is in there, just astonished.
I've done a lot of work with money, especially with your course that I bought, which is so wonderful, Margaret. And really, everything that you were saying, I'm like, wow, that isn't me. I don't feel that way at all. So I'm happy. Yay, your stuff works.
Right, you've owned your shadow. Yeah, and so it's hard. Sometimes it's hard when we get into this point. It's like, well, what is the upside of owning this horrible little part of myself? And so I just wanted you to look at that picture again. And how high is the judgment now? How are you seeing this part of you?
I have this shadow sitting there in the limo waiting to drive away, and it's sort of looking back at me and thinking and saying, maybe I could find some way to bring the rest of me into this and not just drive off.
Okay.
Margaret, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like every time I talk about like the dark side of my shadow versus the light, I am so much more accepting of my dark side. Like going through all of that, it felt very true. And although it's something that I want to work on, I was very accepting of it. But whenever I look at the light side, like my empowerment, I have a very hard time embracing that. Why is that?
Well, two things. It's almost harder to own our light. Okay, so at the process we're going to do at the end is going to be the light side, and that we'll see how you do there.
Okay.
But often there, because of the strength of what we think we have shoved down and hidden in this money shadow, is what stops us from owning the power side, because there's this conflict that says, if I let myself carry power, I'm going to be Jafar. I am going to be crazy drunk with power.
Mm.
So it's often it's the belief that I am just too scary underneath to allow myself to carry any power. So I have to take that energy and that power that's always coming down into me through seventh chakra all the way down into my lifeline, and I have to pinch it off. I can't let myself carry that much power. And this kind of power is in the lower chakras.
Mm.
Okay, this is all
which I don't feel.
Yeah, this is second chakra stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
This whole money and power and because money gives us power. And allowing ourselves to feel, you know, this sense of invincibility and power, and I can do whatever I want, and I'm huge because money makes me that way. This is second chakra stuff. And so if we pinch it off there and don't let it come down, we can't manifest as well, because the manifestation channel comes down from seventh infinite possibility, seventh chakra, down into our body, all the way down, second chakra, first chakra, wham, we make it material.
Okay.
Third chakra, we take action in the world. Second chakra, we see how our value is connected to what we're doing. And first chakra is, you know, physical material, we manifest.
Okay.
And so when we have, when we're pretty sure that we've, you know, the first step is often owning that we have a money shadow or any kind of shadow, because it's like, I don't have that. I'm generous. I'm compassionate. I'm not anything like that. So you're willing to own that you have a shadow, but there's probably still concerns around what you would do if you carried a tremendous amount of power.
Okay.
Okay, because you know that you've got a lower self in there that would... You know, and think about the media. I mean, there are absolutely examples every day of people who start out like a nice, normal country bumpkin, sweetest person in the world, and what happens with the fame and the money and the power, they go all the way down into their lower self, and they become self-destructive monsters. So,
oh, yeah.
It can happen. Okay? So owning your shadow means instead of having that either completely denied or shut down, we can integrate it and we open up all the energy that's there at second chakra. Okay, so is anyone still seeing a lot of judgment or negative or kind of a yucky dark picture of their shadow?
I am. What came up for me, Margaret, is amazing, actually. I just feel, I think I'm punishing myself and feel very much guilt because I feel there was a part of my life where that was true for me, and I made a lot of decisions and choices which I now judge as bad because of being in that space. And so I think, wow, I've been totally holding myself back, not even realizing that even had even taken place.
Yeah, so you've actually you've got real evidence, right? Like, oh no, I know,
yeah.
I'll be a scumbag. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice work. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the eye opening when I did this process on myself, the eye opening part for me was recognizing there is a part of me that can't wait to lord my money and power over people. My jaw was hanging open because that's not my typical personality, but I was like, wow. Tapping through it this way, it was like, there I am, Jafar. There is a part of me that can't wait to just be like, you know what? You know, I have all this power and money. You need to kiss my ass. Like, startling, scary. I was like tapping going, man, this has got to be some good upside coming because this is horrifying.
Yeah, I'm looking for the other side.
No, what I always tell myself, and this is what led me to this process, is whenever I think about money and big goals, I instantly feel myself saying to God or whoever's listening, but I really just wanted to help people, like justifying all the time. I'm really going to be good with it. Don't worry. So if I'm always justifying, there's got to be something down there that I don't want to be seen, right? Like as if I can trick God, right? He's going to like, oh, wow, she has no lower self.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it just means that there was a conflict there that says there, you know, there's going to be a whole lot of my spiritual connection that's never going to be okay with me having money. And that was 100% a solid belief for me. Okay, so let's kind of tap through the shadow again and see if we can make it a little bit more neutral. Okay, tapping through the point. There it is. Really kind of shocking.
I didn't hear you.
Really kind of shocking.
Really kind of shocking.
I don't really want to look at this.
I really don't want to look at this.
I certainly don't want anyone to hear me talking about it.
I certainly don't want anyone to hear me talking about it.
I definitely don't want God to see this part.
I definitely don't want God to see this part.
Hope the divine's not listening.
I hope the divine's not listening.
There it is. Really wants power and money.
Really wants power and money.
This part of me. Really wants power and money. Maybe to do good things in the world. But mostly just for me. To enjoy. To roll around in it. To spend on me. On ridiculous things I don't even need. God, it would be a blast. This part of me. That wants to walk with power. The power that money gives you. The confidence that money gives you. This part of me. That wants to feel the world. In the hedonistic pleasures of it. Just because it's enjoyable.
just because it's enjoyable.
Feel people's respect.
Feel people's respect.
Because I deserve it.
Because I deserve it.
This part of me.
This part of me.
That has no guilt.
That has no guilt.
About enjoying pleasure.
About enjoying pleasure.
And fun.
And fun.
And wild nights out on the town.
And wild nights out on the town.
I'm just going to let it be there.
I'm just going to let it be there.
It's okay.
It's okay.
I'm surprised to see it.
I'm surprised to see it.
But I'm open to honoring it.
But I am open to honoring it.
And everything it's calling me to.
And everything it's calling me to.
I wonder if I can bring this part in.
I wonder if I can bring this part in.
If it has any gifts for me.
If it has any gifts for me.
If I integrate it into me.
If I integrate it into me.
I wonder if I could be both.
I wonder if I could be both.
Both the parts of me.
Both the parts of me.
That's really giving.
That's really giving.
And conscientious.
And conscientious.
And the part of this.
And the part of this.
Which is wild and fun and selfish.
Which is wild and fun and selfish.
And wants to carry more power.
And wants to carry more power.
I wonder what that would be like.
I wonder what that would be like.
In my core.
In my core.
In my light.
In my light.
If I could be human.
If I could be human.
And enjoy the pleasures of this world.
And enjoy the pleasures of this world.
And the feeling of power.
And the feeling of power.
And to be conscientious.
And to be conscientious.
And loving.
And loving.
And in my life purpose.
And in my life purpose.
I wonder what that would feel like.
Oh, I wonder what that would feel like.
I'm just going to honor this part.
I'm just going to honor this part.
In all the money shadows I see out there.
And all the money shadows I see out there.
Okay, and take a nice deep breath. I just want you to look at that part again and just notice what you're feeling in your body and how the image looks to you now. Sometimes people notice that energy moving down around second chakra, down like lower in your stomach. Mm-hmm. I've even had people say that it almost, the energy that's moving down there almost feels like sexual energy or sexual excitement, which is actually not surprising because all of these energies are connected.
Well, I was going to say that it was bringing up a lot of sex, but I don't want to be too weird. But it seems to be somehow connected. Not a lot of the images, just a lot of, for some reason, sex, that word is coming up a lot for me as you're talking. So
And this is, you know, what Carolyn Mace, you know, pretty serious, hardcore teacher, that second chakra, money, sex, sexuality, intimacy, power, all connect to the second chakra. And that's why one of the classes that I'm teaching this summer is unleashing sexuality, because the sexual energy is like one channel away, one degree away from raw life force energy. There's a tremendous amount of energy and power in that second chakra.
Mm.
Okay? And so what, two questions. What would this part of you call you to do? And what have you shut down in your life by shutting down this part? By not wanting anything to do with this money shadow part?
Margaret?
Yes.
What came up for me was very interesting. It was nothing to do with money. First, I imagined myself like being a queen and then having a whole group of people just having to perform a whole art thing just for me, a beautiful a troop soldiers demonstration. And in the middle, I would just feel like stopping them because who cares that they prepared. And I was just imagining all the delight at being so powerful. And then all of a sudden the scene changed, and now I was in Nazi Germany. And my grandmother was in Auschwitz. My grandmother was killed, her parents were both killed by the Germans. And for me, it's always been one is either powerful or conscious and conscionable. And just imagining myself being a Nazi, being someone who can just kill a whole town of people, was incredibly liberating for me. I was like burping 25 times, and I suddenly just feel this amazing sense of power integrated.
Yeah, and so that's a pretty big power shadow, right? And so to integrate, you know, to have that shut down because of that story, which really has nothing to do with you, right? I mean, it's a piece of your history, but right here in your life, in the present moment, in your life purpose, to shut down that kind of power, right? To shut down the queen archetype that you apparently carry, right? Right? Imagine if you allowed yourself to sort of live a little piece of that queen archetype in your life. Mm-hmm. People around you would probably be relieved that you finally admitted it. I want to be treated like a queen. Right? So really powerful. You know, and if you study, anyone's interested in Carolyn Mace, which is MYFF, many people have heard of her, she teaches the archetypes. Right, and the queen is one of the archetypes, that we all are composed of 12 archetypes. And so she has a book and a program where you figure out what your archetypes are. And the queen is definitely, you got the queen archetype in there.
Cool. Mine, Margaret?
Yeah.
Mine got more repulsive at times, because at first I was having fun dancing, thinking, ooh, I get to play. But then it became not just Paris Hilton, but Lady Gaga, and then a friend's daughter who's just totally hedonistic. And their lifestyle that I was going along with was all hedonistic, where you spend endless money on hedonistic things. I mean, sexy underwear. Just way out there sexually and drug-wise and all of that. And I found myself really repulsed. So I kind of don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, and so you know, it's funny because I keep talking about the summer program. One of the classes is the hedonist shadow. We're going to do the same work on the hedonist. And so what that means for you is that you have one of the archetype cards is a hedonist. You have a really big hedonist. And as soon as you start owning it, you go to a real shadow about it. So we went from sort of money to your scarier shadow for you, which is your hedonist shadow. Okay, so for you, more tapping around exactly, you know, after this class, go back to this image and tap specifically for all your judgment about somebody who is a wild hedonist. Because while you've got that much push against that shadow for you, it's in your shadow, which means, you know, this is where you see people, again, they get to a place of power and money, they go into defense, and what comes out behind closed doors, you know, look at the golfer guy, what was his name?
Right? Tiger Woods.
Look at Tiger Woods. That, you know, talk about a totally rigid, rule-keeper-y kind of charismatic leader guy, and he has this huge shadow, right? You can look at his parents. They were very rigid and strict, so it goes all into the shadow, right? So you either shut it down for your life, right, or, you know, like with some people, it's so rigidly shut down. You probably allow yourself to have fun in your life, but when it's the more rigidly it's shut down, the more it comes out in sort of the, you know, the crazy, I just destroyed my life way. So it means that you have a really big hedonist, which is why you have a really big pushback against your hedonist shadow. Okay. So when you do some more tapping around that the judgment against the hedonist and start to own your inner hedonist, it doesn't mean that you're going to go crazy. Don't worry. But it does mean that you, what would it be like to own that you're a person who is able to switch into pleasure mode, right? Who can turn off work and really enjoy and bring that presence to other people, get other people to really enjoy the moment and pleasure and, right, whether it's an incredible dinner or a day at the beach or something, that you have a really strong hedonist that has not been allowed to come out maybe since, you know, teenage years or something, or maybe ever. Okay. Any other feedback on how that money shadow is looking?
Yes, Margaret, I found this to be actually very exciting because I can see a way where I can integrate that part of me that really would like that kind of power with the other parts of me. And I actually had two images come up. One was of Oprah Winfrey, who I think is somebody who uses her money and her power in very constructive ways. And then I thought about Jimmy Buffett in Margaritaville. And that would be kind of fun, too. What would it be like to sit around for summer and not do anything but drink margaritas?
We kind of go from one extreme, and we look at Oprah and say, "Well, I don't mind being rich like her,
mm-hmm.
right?" But I want you to recognize, you think that Oprah, you know, think about how much money she has, that she totally enjoys that money.
Exactly.
That she totally, she probably gets a massage a week and, you know, and has the most excruciatingly beautiful vacations that she goes on. So we almost forget that even these people who are really wonderful, humanitarians,
mm-hmm.
they're enjoying the hell out of their money.
Yeah, right.
Right? And so what if you could be both? So what if you were to engage with this money shadow and talk to it? What does it want? What is it calling you to do in your life?
Oh, I think it's calling me for me to have more fun. And when I think about money, that's one of the things that money means to me.
Yeah.
Margaret, I'm having trouble connecting with the shadow side.
Okay. What's your profile?
It's a team player. Well... Yeah, I still haven't figured that all out, but knowledgeable achiever and team player.
Yeah, so for the knowledgeable achiever, when we're in our rule keeper, we don't own our second chakra at all. I don't have a what second chakra? Okay. The rule keeper says needs. What? I don't have any needs. I'm fine. I have things I want to get done, right? And the team player says, needs, my needs are whatever you need, okay?
Yeah.
So it's going to take a little more work for you to open up, but the healing for you is to open up that second chakra, is to honor that you have needs. So when you, what's difficult about connecting to it? What are you finding? You can't picture it, or you can't conceptualize it.
I can't. I totally don't connect with Paris Hilton. I can connect with Donald Trump because there's some things about his life that are I see in a positive light.
He's achieved a lot. So yeah. Paris Hilton's the harder one for you because she's kind of like plays the damsel in distress, right? Really girly, really soft. So your shadow is going to be more, what you want to focus on more is your inner Paris Hilton. And that's probably going to make you cringe. Is that you have an inner... you have an inner Paris Hilton, right, who wants everything done for her. And so what I want you to do is to do a process just like we did, put Paris Hilton there and just keep tapping on, I am so not like her. I totally judge her. I will never be like her.
Okay.
Right? And this is the power of the shadow work, and the same thing we did on the teleclass with Steve Wells. It's you start with that, I am so not like that. No, Margaret, I do not have a shred of Paris Hilton in me.
Yes.
Okay. And so, you know, if you were to tap through that and own that you had an inner Paris Hilton, what would that part of you call you to do in your life? Because there's something out of balance.
Right.
Right? What would it be like to allow yourself to, you know, channel Paris Hilton for 2 hours on a Saturday night?
Well, may have done that in the past, in my 20s.
Yeah.
You
know?
Right, right. So go back to your 20s. Right? That's probably where your second chakra was probably a lot more open.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And we're talking about money and success here, and the way this relates is when we're in our rule keeper and we're running a business and we're relating to customers and we're talking to prospects, when we're coming from that achiever rule keeper place, nobody feels the same heart coming through. All very, this is the details, and this is what you need to do, and this is why you should hire me, because I'm the best. There's not a lot, there's not as much charisma and energy in the field that you're carrying, right? So believe it or not, owning your inner Paris Hilton not only will affect you in your personal life, but will actually change the way that you are in your business, the way you talk to customers, the way you deal with clients, especially if you're a coach.
Okay.
I know it sounds crazy.
Hey, Margaret, do you just think if you have that much money, then you're just better than everybody? Is that the shadow side?
Is that what you're seeing as your shadow side?
Yeah.
Yeah, so how does it feel looking at that or thinking about that?
It doesn't feel right.
Okay. So that's what you're pulling up here. Everybody is getting their more specific, detailed things that you have a problem with. Okay. So there's something out of balance there. There's a part of you, if it's an extreme, that would say, I'm so much better than everyone else. Okay.
Oh, only if I have money.
Right. So, you know, so there's a conflict there, right?
Right.
That until I get money, I can never allow myself to carry this feeling, this belief, this self-acceptance of I'm pretty awesome.
Okay.
Okay. So when it's in the shadow, you know, it's a little bit more like I'm better than everyone else, which means there's always a comparison going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's calling you to something. So you tap on it first, and then you sit down, close your eyes, visualize it again, and talk to it and say, what do you want? What are you calling me to? What are you asking me to do in my life right now?
Okay.
Right.
Margaret?
Yes.
I had a situation. What came up for me was my husband, we were dot-comers, and all of a sudden went from just making normal amounts of income to making a lot of money, and he did. And what happened was I just realized this about myself. I really hated I felt like it did to him. I felt like it turned him into this narcissistic person, power hungry. People were just kissing his butt all over the place, and it wasn't real. And that's what came up for me when I was tapping, and I realized that I have so choked it off, and because it was very easy to see that in him, but I think ultimately there's like that deep, deep hidden fear that that could be me. And so
right.
It was really safe to sort of see it in him, and I've seen it in him, you know, ever since that happened. And then we lost all our money. And
yeah.
So.
Right, and so it's more tapping specifically on that for you, and then looking at, you know, that picture becomes you, that part of you.
Yeah.
That would be really narcissistic.
Right.
So we're going to do another tapping round on this and kind of open this up a little bit. And then for whoever can stay on the line, we're going to do another exercise, and it'll be on the recording anyway if you got to jump off. Okay. And so tapping through the points. Okay. There it is.
There it is.
My money shadow.
My money shadow.
I'm just going to surrender it.
I'm just going to surrender it.
Right into my heart.
Right into my heart.
Forgive it, accept it, honor it.
Forgive it, accept it, honor it.
Surrender that I have it.
Surrender that I have it.
And let it integrate into my heart.
And let it integrate into my heart.
It has powerful gifts for me.
It has powerful gifts for me.
It reminds me.
It reminds me.
That I'm wonderfully compassionate and humble.
That I'm wonderfully compassionate and humble.
And I'm also really selfish and narcissistic.
And I'm also really selfish and narcissistic.
Of course I am.
Of course I am.
How could I not be?
How could I not be?
I'm kind of all about me.
I'm kind of all about me.
I do love helping people.
I do love helping people.
And it's an amazing reward when I do.
And it's an amazing reward when I do.
And I also love money.
And I also love money.
I love when it shows up.
I love when it shows up.
I love how fun it is to have a pile of money.
I love how fun it is to have a pile of money.
There's a part of me.
There's a part of me.
That would rather roll in that pile of money.
That would rather roll in that pile of money.
Then give it to charity.
Then give it to charity.
There's a part of me.
There's a part of me.
That will always be generous.
That will always be generous.
And be generous to me, too.
And be generous to me, too.
There's a part of me.
There's a part of me.
That's a good custodian of this earth.
That's a good custodian of this earth.
And a part of me that can be a little wasteful.
And a part of me that can be a little wasteful.
You only live once.
You only live once.
Sometimes I can throw caution to the wind.
Sometimes I can throw caution to the wind.
I love how humble I am.
I love how humble I am.
And I'm open to feeling more powerful.
And I'm open to feeling more powerful.
At the exact same moment.
At the exact same moment.
Feeling the power that is my birthright.
Feeling the power that is my birthright.
Flowing through my body.
Flowing through my body.
Carrying that power.
Carrying that power.
Feeling how powerful I am.
Feeling how powerful I am.
Speaking that with my voice.
Speaking that with my voice.
Hearing the power in my own words.
Hearing the power in my own words.
I'm pretty magnificent.
I'm pretty magnificent.
I'm kind of stuck up about being me.
I'm kind of stuck up about being me.
I love that I have a really big heart.
I love that I have a really big heart.
And I have a wonderful life purpose.
And I have a wonderful life purpose.
And that I'm also human.
And that I'm also human.
With hedonistic drives.
With hedonistic drives.
And a desire for power and pleasure.
And a desire for power and pleasure.
I own all of it.
I own all of it.
I allow all of it.
I allow all of it.
I'm grateful for all of it.
I'm grateful for all of it.
I love being human.
I love being human.
I love rolling in money.
I love rolling in money.
I love being generous.
I love being generous.
And I love keeping a lot for me.
And I love keeping a lot for me.
I'm so glad I'm human.
I'm so glad I'm human.
Okay, take a nice deep breath. And so how did that feel to be able to be both, all of those things?
I'm tingly all over.
It feels true.
Yeah. And so I just want you to recognize that doing this kind of work, if you were to suddenly win the $1 million lottery tomorrow, and suddenly there were certain people that came into your life that were really kiff-ass, you would handle it differently when you've owned your shadow. It would feel good, and you would see it, and it would be kind of funny, but you would handle it very differently from owning your shadow, doing that shadow work, okay? It would still be fun, but you'd be much more conscious about it. So just want
Margaret,
you to know the energy is moving in your body, where it's moving and how it feels. Yeah, go ahead.
For me, what this call brought up, excuse me, was the people, my shadow, about people who say that they're doing things altruistically and truly they're just motivated by making more money. So that is a great shadow for me. So it's not as much as being out there wasting money or going to nightclubs. I might be too old for that, you know, but it's like just that real deep shadow of what it is that plugs me in the most, what it is that most turns my stomach when I'm looking at how wealthy people work with money. So play with it a little bit. That it doesn't have to be that particular shadow, but what is it out there that you see that wealthy people are doing that really turns your stomach?
And it's to trigger what you're exactly, thank you, Andy, that what your specific shadow is. So we've heard people kind of come up with their own particular spin on it, right? And so I'm always going to use the general words that I'm getting, but you want to see what it really is specifically for you. You know, for you, Andy, it's that, you know, there can never, ever be anything but an altruistic motive in anything you do, any marketing, any program, any anything. If it's not 100% altruistic, then it's not okay, right? And of course, there's always going to be a dual role, you know,
right.
Like the summer program, I can't wait to do it, and I love it, and I'm so excited to personally invite people, and I need to earn a living. So yes, I need to make money off of that class.
Right, and then when you get a new client, you know, you see the dollar signs going ka-ching on the cash register, because that's true. You know, this is how you're earning your living. So that, for me, is a huge shadow.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Paris Hilton thing, and I wanted to throw in one other thing that I've heard very valuable. She has a book called Confessions of an Heiress that a lot of people find really valuable about digging into this shadow. But I know for me, it's like, I actually, there's an empress archetype, which is even better for me than a queen or like a princess grace, you know, that's just got elegance and class and style, that there was no... I mean, I'm sure there was much more than enough money for everything she ever wanted, but there was nothing ugly or déclassé about it.
Right.
So, you know, to just look at that and
yeah.
How...
And that's perfect, because that's what we're going to do next is look at the positive side, okay, is the light shadow of money, the light side of it. So we're going to pick somebody on that side. And recognize, you know, even with Princess Grace, she was incredibly gracious and beautiful and lovely, but you know that in her life, everything was done for her. She allowed that, and it was must have been really nice. And so every single thing was mostly done for her. Right? She never had to do laundry or fold clothes or grocery shop. So even with the most altruistic people we can think of, we want to remember that they were also human. And they also had pleasure in their life and enjoyment and had to be selfish in ways that of course they were because they were human.
Yeah, and I'll take some of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she had the exact breakfast that she wanted the way she wanted it exactly right every day. Not just, oh, don't worry about me, I'll take anything, right? Okay, so what I want everyone to do is now to picture somebody that they really admire around money. It could be somebody in your life that you know personally, or it could be somebody in the media, And I want you to just picture them there, and I want you to quickly write down 4 or 5 attributes about them that really jump out at you. About the way they are with money. Even though they have money, they are what? What do they embody that you admire? And these attributes are really important because they're specific. So you want to get down what they are for you. Okay, so really just see that person and at least get down 3 or 4 attributes. And so everyone should have a few down. So I want you to look at those attributes. You cannot see anything that you do not have. So just like you, what you, the shadow that you see in other people is a shadow for you. You can't see the light in other people that you don't have. So look at each one of those attributes. That's actually you. You're the one. So in your power, in your light, you just described yourself with money. Those are the attributes that are you, that you embody. So you fast forward into the future and you have that kind of money. That's your light. I just want you to notice how hard that is to own. It's often harder to own our light. I want you to look at those words and say, I am that. I'm the one who's fill in the blank. You just wrote down there your light side, the way that you would deal with tremendous amounts of money from your core. That's why the words are really important, and I don't tell people what I'm going to do with them before they write them down. Otherwise, they'll change the words. Feedback on that? What's the feeling looking at those words and hearing me say that's you?
Well, Margaret, I started to weep with joy because I thought of Oprah Winfrey, but I put gives, enjoys it, is down to earth, and is real and grounded about it. So I'm thrilled. Thank you.
You're welcome. See, so everyone's going to use slightly different words, and that's why. Because you're seeing your piece of light in there that you don't really recognize that you have. Mm-hmm. But it's you. This is not owning your light. Okay, anyone else?
I had Oprah, too. And I said, manages it well, she's honest, being herself, has lots of support, has beautiful things, parties with rich people.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have classy, confident, down-to-earth, charitable.
Yeah, so I just want you to notice the ones that really might stand out, and you might say, wow, I don't think of that as me. Okay, and recognize, you know, what would it be like to embody that? So you take that shadow side of you and you bring that into your core, which opens up a lot of energy, right? A lot of the shadow side of you around money has a bigger desire for money and power than you might possibly be walking around with, right? Bigger desire for money, for power, for to feel and enjoy the world. And now you bring it into the core with this core quality of you.
Margaret, I had an interesting situation. Mine was Oprah as well, and I had intelligent, makes a difference, always growing and sharing. And with the one that really moved me was the first one. It kind of shocked me, was intelligent when you did that little switch on us. And I could feel this, like, lots of energy down in my first and second chakras, and then it started coming up to my heart, and then it made me cry.
Yeah, you felt your soul there, right? When we touch our soul, our emotion comes out. You just touched, you know, and the previous person too. When you touch that part of you, it's emotional.
Right.
Right? You just touched the core part of you, and it's like, wow. So what would it be like to bring that, to embody that, or to tap on all the resistance you have to that, right? because you might still have some resistance to that image of yourself. Like, that's not me.
It's like freeing and scary at the same time.
Yeah. Anybody else? It's a really enlightening exercise.
Yeah.
There are certain things that come up that, like you just said, that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
Like recognized and admired.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, contextually, I understand that that's part of my life, but I just don't see how that's been, that has any evidence in my actual life.
It's your calling in the present moment, so you have not lived that. You haven't embodied that yet. You haven't become the person who is admired. You haven't let that part of you out yet, right? So you've been, you know, doing what you've been doing your life, right? Maybe in battle about it or self-sabotage or having these, you know, the stories that say I'm not good enough yet, okay? But that's your core, right? So you just felt a little bit of your life purpose calling there. It's more of a charismatic leader life purpose calling, like I'm supposed to do something that leads people. Right? I'm supposed to be a leader at what I do, right?
Yeah.
So the feeling that embodying of someone who's admired and respected, you're seeing her leadership quality.
Mm-hmm.
That's your life purpose, is to embody that leadership quality.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I find that what has really come up for me through this exercise, which is wonderful, but consciously I am enjoying what I want to be enjoying for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that there's still the undercurrent underneath that I still have to fight. And what's showing up for me is like, I hear my kids all the time say stuff to me like, oh, you're so materialistic, or oh gosh, or things that I feel judged by and negative, but yet if I really am honest with myself and go down to the shadow, I want to be okay with that. Like, it's okay. I seem to be battling people lately who think that it's wrong to want to have nice things or to enjoy my home or wanted to fill it with things that really bring me pleasure. And I feel like I'm always defending that. Like, it's okay, you know, it's not just because I want it. I mean, I actually enjoy. I mean, it brings me pleasure. I'm a very sensual person. I enjoy the visual of it. I enjoy how it feels. I enjoy when people come in and that they feel like something. And so enjoy seeing all the flowers when I go out in my yard, and people are like, oh my God, you must have spent so much money. I feel like I'm doing a lot of what I want to do, but I saw this huge undercurrent in my body that's still fighting it.
So people are just projecting back to you that you have still some judgment and conflict about it. And so a really good way to do that is to just tap on their judgment and how they judge you and how much you don't like it.
Okay, thank you.
Because when their judgment doesn't trigger you anymore, you know, what you just said is exactly what I would say to people. I love how it feels in my house. You really have a really solid, beautiful first chakra, because first chakra is your body and everything that you can see, everything in your life, everything solid. And I'm similar. Like, I love my house. I love the things on my walls. I love my roses. I get tremendous amount of pleasure from the things in my life. And so does that mean I'm materialistic? I'll take it. Materialistic is when people buy stuff and then it's on the pile. Often the people who are excessive spenders, they actually have a really deficient first chakra.
Yep.
What I recommend for everybody is to come off this class and sit down and write your savings goal down. And I don't mean like millions of dollars in the future. I mean like the next best number that if you had that in the bank, you would feel different. You know, for some people, that's like the 6 or 9 months of living expenses in the bank. Write that number down. Make it an actual goal. Okay, and how would this gift that you're getting from the shadow side support you in that goal? You know, to say, what if I can own the part of me that's more like that, that would be calling me to have more single-minded focus around creating some wealth for myself, some security. For many of us, it's never really been on the radar as a priority. We've never taken it on like a project at work where we've said, this is my goal and I'm going to execute till I get there. Okay, so this class, really, you want to leave with a commitment that you are going to grow yourself into a more empowered money manager, which means time, energy, selfish time, energy, and focus will go towards you in your financial plans, your security, your savings account, because it'll make you feel good. It'll let you go on vacation. It will let you spend a little money on yourself. It will let you have the security that you deserve. It has nothing to do with running around and helping other people. It's kind of a selfish event. I mean, if we've got a family, we're also doing it for them. And I want you to think about going after that goal, owning the side of you that might look kind of greedy, that might look kind of focused on money, not really willing to give it away to people because you're focused on it, on growing something for yourself. Seeing aspects of this shadow that may have a gift for us. Okay, so everyone's going to go and create a goal and commit to being a better money manager. And so here's what I'll leave you with. T. Harv Eker says, who wrote Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, if you want to be a millionaire, which we all love the sound of, you have to be willing to grow yourself into a million-dollar money manager. You may not be that person today. If you want to have $50,000 in the bank, which everyone loves my great video on YouTube, Tapping for $50,000, you have to grow yourself into the money manager, the kind of person who knows how to earn and manage and keep $50,000. You may not be that person today. That's okay. The commitment is to grow yourself into a more focused money manager for all the reasons your shadow is showing you.